Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to History Dweebs, the podcast where we take a lighthearted look at the dark side of history. I am Tim, and today the topic of our podcast is, the title of our podcast is, A Beautiful Suicide, the Death of Evelyn McHale. Evelyn McHale, of course, became famous after she leaped from the Empire State Building. We're going to talk about her life and death, but before we do, let me remind all of you that we are a true crime comedy podcast. Well, we cover all kind of shit.
Goddamn right, but you know,
we also use words like leap.
Other things in the podcast. Yeah, we use words like leap.
Sometimes.
But we're also a faith-based podcast.
Let's not.
So it's important for our listeners to know that.
We are recording on a Sunday.
We're recording on a Sunday, and the donations to the Church of the Latter-day Colonel have fallen off, Timmy. So if people
I can't imagine
people
why.
Need to ante up. They need to show their spirit, show their faith by either donating to the Church of the Colonel, or they could be Patreon donors here. If you're a Patreon donor to this show, because we're a faith-based show, because we're affiliated with the First Church of the Colonel, that makes...
Now, don't say that. So then we're going to get in all kind of trouble for soliciting funds, and you get the IRS
Deal with the IRS. I've been battling with...
He's been under audit
for
years.
I've been battling with them for 15 years. Yeah. Yeah. I can't even release my tax returns.
Exactly. Audit since 1923. The IRS came into being. Before we get started, let me introduce our panel. I am pleased to introduce a lady who is known throughout the land as Brandy the Benevolent, Her Majesty Queen Brandy the First. How are you?
I'm all right,
Queen
Timmy.
Brandy,
I'm good. Today's my wedding anniversary. I know, right? Dave and I both
happy
forgot.
Anniversary.
So, yeah. No,
I was going to ask you
forgot.
If you had
so
sex.
I did
I
go out
not,
and buy a new toaster
forgot.
Oven with his credit card. So, you know, don't hate on that. I know. Well, we're rock stars.
So you're having
he's at work. And I got a new toaster oven.
You're getting a little bougie on us, devil, with the toaster oven.
I know. Well,
you probably got an Instapot.
I don't have an Instapot, but this doubles as a convection oven. So, I do not have an Instapot, and you know, I don't really need one. The way Dave's schedule is, and Noah only eats chicken fries, so I mean, there's just no reason for me to have anything fancy like that. I do have an air fryer, is the best thing ever.
You can take a frozen chicken breast and cook it in the Instapot in 45 seconds. I'm sure you have.
But no, I'm good. I spent last weekend in the wilderness with... It was so wonderful.
How was your retreat?
Stephanie Bomer and I have such a good time when we go out there because it's... We met the neighbors.
Are you sure
Certain. I mean,
Bomer.
I was at her wedding. But I'm going to call her Stephanie Franz now.
Well, because it's spelled like...
It's not.
It's spelled like...
But we're going to go...
So she just sent me a friend request.
Yeah,
so
no,
I
we're
going to
go with Franz now since she's getting divorced, and that's so. All good. But we met the neighbors who were creepy. Jack and Wanda, and Jack had...
Oh.
Jack had three.
Did they have teeth?
Wanda had most of her teeth and yet lacked a bra. And the reason that that's clutch is because where we met them was at the intersection of our driveways to go out into the world. So, you know, if you're just like hanging out at the cabin, no bra is all good. But yeah, you're getting ready to go out into the world, Wanda. You need to get some support on those puppies.
Well, she was probably going to the dollar
They might have
store,
been. Dollar Generals dollar are big down there. You can't swing a dead cat without hitting a Dollar General. I'm just...
Notice how Chuck just interfered with Brandy Dime?
I did.
Walked I didn't say
right
anything to
her. I didn't hear anything.
Yeah.
Oh,
my Instapot? Oh, is Instapot? Yeah. Well, that's not surprising.
No, see,
here's what I'm trying to do to me, and this is important. Now, she just said Stephanie is getting divorced, right?
She is divorced.
Now, we know it's only a...
She just got divorced.
She just got divorced. So...
So we don't have to worry about her how she spells her last name from now on? Because
you
she kind of was
wrong.
Pronouncing
okay.
it wrong. But okay. Sorry, Stephanie.
But we do know that it's only a matter of time.
Maybe that's why she got divorced.
Dave tosses out the devil. And now Stephanie might swoop Lanny up before the devil even gets a shot at her. So I'm trying to make her more like June Cleaver, Timmy. Jeez. I'm trying to turn her into June Cleaver.
What? No.
Lanny's out of Stephanie's leg, but he's kind of...
Well, that's true.
Wow.
That's true.
Wow.
Stephanie could do better.
Wow.
Let me introduce Brandy, a man who is known as the most dangerous man in podcasting. He's been called Brandy an oasis.
He has not.
In the desert of despair. The very honorable, the Reverend Colonel Charles Beauregard Hawk Walters III, affectionately known as the
if
Southern Gentleman. How are
Timmy,
you today,
I'm
Colonel?
Not good.
Oh, Timmy, he's
I'm
not
glad
good.
You could wake up today.
I'm not good. Well, you know, Timmy.
Well, Brandy, would you like to tell our audience why this podcast
Are you
been
talking
delayed?
About today, why it was delayed? Well, because, see, what happens, Timmy, is... We're all very, very busy people. We have jobs and families. And I mean, you know, don't really have much of a life, but the rest of us do.
Right. Don't have
so
none of those
we schedule
things
these things, you know, kind of at the start of our day so that we can, you know, for the rest of the day, we can kind of move on and do what we need to do. And so we scheduled it at 10 o'clock this morning because as adults, we, you know, usually get up before 10 o'clock and, you know, get going with our day. And at 10 o'clock, Charles... was still asleep. And then when he finally decided to join us and call, you couldn't be found anywhere. So it was like herding cats there for a little bit, but we have now made it. And here we are.
But yet here we are.
So it's a very exciting time.
So Charles, I've been requested by the lovely Leanne to ask Charles about his puppy bra.
His
that
puppy
he was
bra?
Wearing apparently, yesterday.
It's a puppy.
You have a puppy
Bjorn,
bra.
Timmy.
And, a puppy
and
Bjorn. Is it a nursing bra?
No, it's just.
Are you
so
letting
you
that puppy nurse
on your chest?
Really, Chuck?
Don't judge
That's
me.
That's so gross.
It's except for the sharp little teeth.
Well, tell me about it. Once they get teeth,
I do carry him around.
He has nipples.
I'm telling
Can you,
you
milk him?
You throw that puppy, you get one of those things and throw that puppy on your chest, you got women just running at you. I mean, I went to the park, two of the Rangers just, they were females, they just ran right at me. It was like I was at Hocking Hills, and it was like I was there with Justin Bieber, Timmy. I mean, I would just.
So nobody cared about you, is what you're saying. Nobody gave two shits about you. They wanted to see the puppy.
No, they wanted to know who this puppy's daddy was.
No, they didn't.
He's probably trying
I'm
to
the puppy.
Save
no.
the puppy.
I'm the puppy daddy.
Hmm. He's the dog.
The puppy daddy.
Yeah.
Are you the bitch?
Colonel, are you.
Go Because I feel like you are.
You're just hateful today. You needed to get more sleep.
You know what the problem is? I've had all of my coffee. Sometimes you guys get me when I'm like halfway through my coffee routine. But now, boy, we're ready. We're rolling.
Yeah, some of us kind of wake up on a decent
I was up
hour.
At 6.
So. I was up at 6. Now I went back to
exactly.
sleep.
Brandy, are you ready for DweebCon?
I know. I'm
less
so
than
excited
30
for
days
DweebCon.
Away, less than a month away.
So excited.
It's going to be fun. It's going to be here in Cincinnati,
yes.
October 4th through 6th. So we would love for you to join us. We have a live show scheduled on the 5th at the No Theater here in Cincinnati. So if, for more information, just come to
I
our
loved
yes.
the No Theater.
Facebook page.
I
History
loved
Dweebs,
it.
The podcast. And I'm sorry, I didn't mean to cut.
Why? All he wants to do is bitch.
Colonel time short.
Well,
but what's
no,
up, Colonel? What's
I
going
was late
on?
I mean, you know that I got this ongoing legal dispute and... It's been problematic for me. So part of the reason I was late is I was on a conference call with my lawyer and the editors. Because, you know,
okay.
I'm writing a new book.
Yes,
apparently
How to Make Love
that
to
title's
a woman.
Been taken, Timmy. And they won't let me use it, so I got to come up with another.
Oh, so it's copyrighted.
So.
Okay. What's
well,
your title with
now,
your new book?
This is, to get to read the... This is kind of an advanced edition. You got to read my first book, Knocking Boots for Dummies, Timmy.
You're so nasty.
I missed that.
Yeah, no,
I missed
you
got to
read
somehow,
that one. Knocking
Colonel.
Boots for Dummies. That's your introductory course.
So it's a... Is this a
Yeah, this is the
sequel,
more advanced
yeah.
course. And we're working on some titles. We might... we're thinking... Beyond Thunderdome, Make Love Like the Colonel.
Beyond Thunderdome, How to Make Love Like the Colonel. Well, I'm sure, Brandy, that would sell
no.
a lot of copies.
Well, now see, as a female, because women...
As a female, I'm
you
asking you not
too.
To write this book.
How do you feel about the title, Taming the Taco?
Oh, my God.
How to Make Love to a Woman Colonel Style.
Colonel, that might be a little
you
offensive
so?
To
See,
some
See, that's
people.
What my editor said.
Not of our
the
listeners, of course. But,
he said
but
we'll for, go with something yeah, more no. like love Colonel stuff.
Boof.
Yeah.
That does have a ring to it, Brandy.
Yeah. And
excuse me.
See, I was coming up and thinking maybe something like 7 Minutes in Heaven. You know that teenage game that you played? Something like that.
It's kind of a long time.
Well,
there,
seven whole
minutes.
Seven whole minutes. That includes foreplay and dinner and yeah,
undressing
right.
and
yeah.
shower.
What the hell?
Exactly.
Dinner.
So and men, this is for everybody. You know, men. You need to turn your bedroom for a mere $14.99. You're going to be able to turn your bedroom into a pleasure palace. Now, think about this, Timmy. Men buy roses, right, to try to woo women. But roses,
some do,
they
yes.
just wither and die.
Some do.
But this book,
like your
Timmy,
penis
it's
did,
a gift mm-hmm. that just yes. keeps giving and giving and giving and giving. So, what do you?
Well. Well, I think you have to have a once you get a title, Colonel. That might be more, you know, it would entice
people.
Yeah,
I'm
going to
have one
it.
By the end of the week,
than.
I believe. We're coming up with one.
Well, all right. Well, when you get that, you let us know so we can promote it because I know a lot of our
no.
listeners out there would love to learn get some.
No, they wouldn't. They would not
love making tips
there are,
from
no,
the Colonel brand
yeah. specifically. Not
well. I feel like it's a community service that I'm doing.
I feel like I should buy all the books so that nobody needs to read it.
It's like that old saying, too much to those who are given much need to give back.
Really? That's an old saying?
Something like that.
I think it's too much is given,
yeah.
much is required. But
so close.
Yeah, kind of,
you were
of.
So close.
Right. I was there. I was close. Yeah.
Now, Colonel, will you be signing your books at the TweebCon? Well, that's quite. It's pretty amazing since you don't even have a title yet, and you're going to have this book written in 30 days. That seems
well. They're going to get it
quite
as soon as
the. As you got soon, it on the fast
the content's
track. I guess.
Already printed, Timmy. Once they took out all the you know terms that they wouldn't let me use for vagina.
Are we going to? I don't want to do this today. It's Lord's Day. Even the Lord rested on Sundays. Can we not have all of the names for that?
That's fine, Devil. That's fine. Mm. I'm like that Anthony Boudreau.
You
guy,
are not
you
like
know?
That.
I'm
dead.
I'm thinking Private Parts Unknown, Timmy.
Oh.
That would be that's catchy, Brandy. That's catchy.
I can't. I just can't.
All right. Let's talk about Evelyn McHale. Shall we, Brandy?
This is sad though.
All right. Well, yeah,
I'm sure we'll fuck it up, but
I'm sure we will run it. Yeah. The Empire State Building is one of the most famous buildings in the world. Construction of the Empire State Building began in spring of 1930. Of course, Brandy, you was a young lady then. U.S. President Herbert Hoover, who's your good friend, presided over the opening ceremony by turning on the building's lights. Well, that was one way of doing it. With the push of a button, Brandy, from Washington, D.C. That was tricky. How did he do that, Brandy? He was in Washington, D.C., and the Empire State Building, as you know, is in New York City. So
what
how
is also
did
tricky
he,
is
how did he
finding the
to
R in Washington. Just saying.
You think they really had some kind of serious hookup, did he just say, okay, I'm
yeah, they probably coordinated.
Pressing the button now and...
No, it's not.
Well, that's not honest.
A lot about Herbert Hoover wasn't honest, though.
More than 3,004. Well, he was a good guy, I guess. More than 3,400 workers were involved in the construction of the building, and according to the official accounts, 5 workers died during the building process. So, not one for every 1,000, but close. No, more than that. Yeah, more than that. It stood as the world's tallest building for more than 40 years until the World Trade Center North Tower was built in 1972. The building, like the Golden Gate Bridge, which was built 7 years later, became a magnet for those planning on suicide.
Well, if they're contemplating
Brandy, your thoughts
suicide,
on that?
And I feel like once you get to the Empire State Building, you're done contemplating.
Mm. But remember, we did that episode on the jumpers.
Yeah, but they regretted it after they jumped.
State Bridge. Okay.
Well, I don't.
We don't know all of them.
I don't know.
Maybe they jumped in and like they went to a land where they got free ice cream or something. You never know. The observation deck, and they didn't happen to listen to the colonel.
That's right.
Read the colonel's book. So
and what do you think, Timmy? What do you think about make every day hump day?
No, Jesus, God.
Well,
and you know what you
can
put on the cover?
You know, that's hump day is in the lexicon, the current lexicon, Brandy, so that I can see where you
might
want to use
something
like that.
Because if you read the book, the females are going to just want you every day.
No, they're not.
Not just on Wednesday.
But you know who...
It's just if you use my techniques, these are proven techniques.
You know who you could put on... You know what you could put on the cover, though? Is that camel from the commercials. That what?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Make every day hump day.
Hump day.
The observation deck, is that the highest members of the public can go, is 102-story
higher than
102-story building. The deck is on the 86th floor, Brandy. It stands 1,050 feet above ground and can be reached by high-speed lifts. That's elevators.
Thanks.
If you didn't know, Brandy. The first to jump was a man by the name of Robert Henley. He was 37 years old. He was a construction worker. He got laid off in the Great Depression, and he lost his job. So he leaped from the building on February the 5th, 1930, before the building was even complete. So he became the first person
That's a horrible
to jump off the Empire State Building. So props.
No, no props.
Props.
No props to him.
Mr. Henley.
No, he doesn't get props.
He doesn't get props.
No, he doesn't.
I think he does.
He deserves props.
Yeah, he was a trendsetter.
Oh, for fuck's sake. Not a good trend. I mean, that's like the guy who started the
but
mullet
perhaps.
Or the fanny pack. It's not a good trend. You don't give him props. Or the man bun. You don't give him props for that. Nobody gets props.
But perhaps the most famous person to leap to her death from the Empire State Building was a young lady by the name of Evelyn McHale. She was 23 years old, and she was actually the 12th person to jump from the building and was the 6th to clear all of the setbacks, meaning that she got all the way to the ground. She didn't hit any, anything on her way down. And she was one of 5 people in a 3-week period to attempt
suicide. So what, the others didn't die? Did they jump and not die? Or did they, I don't know how that would be possible.
I don't know. Well, the thing is, she became famous, of course, because her picture was taken and appeared on Life
Magazine.
Morbid
as fuck.
We're going to talk about that. Picture became iconic. So we're going to talk about, we're going to give you, as always, we're giving you the backstory, Colonel, because we don't stop.
We go
at the
deeper than
Monday.
That, Timmy. You go deeper than that. Deep, deep.
Deep.
Yeah,
deep.
And if you read my book, you'll learn how to go deep too, Timmy.
No.
Or the men out there will.
No.
Devil, what do you think about labia lessons from the Colonel?
I'm trying not to think about that at all.
Is this now, Colonel? Is this for a young, attractive single man like myself, or could it be for someone married, old?
Well, see,
someone like Clark, for example, don't
well,
have a
I
whole lot to live for.
I try to cover all the bases, Timmy. I try to cover even someone with your advanced knowledge and experience, and we all know you're the Mickey Mantle of cunnilingus.
You think I could learn something from you?
Probably
think I could,
a tip or two
pick
in
up
there.
Something.
Did it help you?
Because, you know, when you said you're writing a book on, you know, how to make love to a woman, of course we can't use
and
that
yet
title,
we did.
But, you know, I thought of,
you
Clark,
thought of Clark,
of course. Or, you know, sometime Clark or, you know, Ben.
Dobrovich?
Colorado Ben or Texas Ben now. I thought, you know, maybe it's for someone younger like Ben or someone who's been married for
right.
a long time,
no,
like Clark.
It covers
Clark,
a broad
but,
spectrum.
You know, I didn't know that they would be something for someone kind of an international.
Well, I mean, there's
going like to
be
myself.
A few tips that you probably you've heard about, but you know, haven't mastered yet.
Maybe
yeah,
I forgot
along the way. It's like
I see. So it's something for everyone
exactly,
in your book, basically.
Exactly,
to me. You think someone, even for someone like Jason Dykes?
Well, Jason Dykes works at a library.
I'm sure Jason is
probably been exposed to this information at the library, but maybe he has not read it.
I see. So you think Jason could benefit from your book as well. So it sounds like all of our listeners could benefit from knowledge and expertise.
Or they won't. They'll never want to eat
the
again.
The entire world.
We could use it as a weight loss book.
Ugh. Evelyn Frances McHale was born on September 20th. Oh, it's almost
for
her
fuck's
birthday.
Sake.
Well, she's dead, so I don't guess it's her birthday. But
God damn it.
September 20th, 1923. So how old would she be, Brandy? She don't want, she'd be like
a lot 96. Of math. I don't do math on Sunday.
Had she not, you know, jumped off the Empire. It's been 96. Had she not, later, 96 later this month, had she not. Decided to jump off the Empire State Building.
Fuck.
Stopped the clock. And she was born on September 20th, 1923 in Berkeley, California. Well, she would probably be dead by now. She was 6 of 7 children born to Vincent and Helen McHale. Vincent
didn't
McHale.
Didn't he play for the
think about that
Boston
name,
Celtics?
Thought he was on the McHale's Navy.
Yeah,
wasn't
all
he?
Kinds. He was all over the place.
Evelyn was pretty, but shy—a shy little girl who kept to herself. Brandy, She liked to read poetry, listen to music, and much spend like myself time as a child. Alone.
Hmm.
No. You were just a she lonely loved her girl, brothers. Devil.
Well, that
you like to be isolated. Just wasn't there a song about that? Just
living in
that's
a lonely
small town
just
girl.
Just a lonely girl. Oh, okay.
She loved her brothers and her sisters, but preferred to spend time alone. Almost did this as if she was an only child, Brandy.
Well, her brothers and sisters were probably assholes. You know, you have to love them. You have to love them, but they're dicks.
She never said that. You think that's why she think that's
no,
that's
I do
why
not.
She jumped off the Empire State Building, perhaps? Evelyn was a good student who rarely went out to play for recess, preferring to stay at her desk and read. She was friendly to the other kids, but seemed to prefer spending her time alone. Her father, Vincent, was a banker, and in 1930, he accepted a position as a bond examiner for the Federal Farm Loan Board and moved the family to the nation's capital in Washington, D.C. Later, he accepted a job in New York City. Yes, we
I'm sorry.
To say New
Pace,
York City,
yes.
Brandy, Mr. Q. And moved family
Tuckahoe.
To somewhere. Tuckahoe,
Tuckahoe,
New York.
Tuckahoe, New York. I want to move there.
You know what?
That could be the
how
name
proper,
of your book.
How to properly Tuckahoe.
Tuckahoe. they moved to Tuckahoe, New York, where Evelyn attended Eastchester High School. Brandy, good old
Go
ECHS. Although the U.S. was in the middle of the Great Depression, Evelyn and her siblings did not seem to want for much, as their father was able to retain employment despite the tough economic times. But to do so meant moving around a lot, which made it even more difficult for the shy little girl, Evelyn, to make friends. So I know you've never been considered shy,
I'm actually
Brandy.
Very shy.
She has had difficulty.
But I do know you have
friends.
Problems.
I'm actually very shy.
Making friends.
Fuckers.
Yeah.
She is shy, strangely. That's just not here. We wish you'd be more shy here.
No, I know you guys.
If the constant relocations weren't difficult enough for the young teenager, Evelyn also endured an unstable family life, Brandy. Her mother apparently suffered from depression, an illness that was likely not diagnosed, let alone treated in the 1930s. So how do we know she had it?
It was the Great Depression.
Did you read it on Wikipedia?
Yeah, everybody had it.
Yeah, well, right.
That's why they called it the Great Depression. Everybody was depressed.
Nice.
Nobody had no money.
Hmm. This led to troubles in the marriage, and by 1940, Vincent had left the family and moved to St. Louis, where he became a stockbroker. Why would you want to become a stockbroker in 1940? You think you would have learned your lesson, Brandy,
well,
after the crash
in
1929.
Maybe he thought he could turn it around.
But anyway,
what a dick.
He abandoned the family, Brandy, and head off for St. Louis. Have you ever wanted to abandon
every
your family,
day,
Brandy,
but that's
and head
not
off
really
to
the
St.
point,
Louis?
Is it? That's not really a thing that we talk about that much.
As a junior, let's see. Oh, she told the Le
it
Souvenir,
means the souvenir
which is
in French
school yearbook.
Yeah, that is Latin for.
Le Souvenir.
Oui, oui.
That's kind of fucking pretentious name for a school yearbook.
Take this shit with you.
I guess it's a little bit more, sounds a little bit more sophisticated than the annual or whatever people call their yearbooks. But mine
was
the Trojan because that was our.
I bet it was there in.
That was
there
our.
In Portsmouth.
That was our nickname, the Trojan.
When
I was by Portsmouth, Timmy. I was not far from Portsmouth. I was down Chillicothe when I was at Hocking Hills.
I know. You were out. Yeah. Did you smell the
you know,
paper mill?
I did. You know what else is around there, Timmy? Nobody told me this before I went. A lot of
methamphetamine.
There's a goddamn rehab center on every corner in Chillicothe.
Nice. If you lived in Chillicothe, wouldn't you need
opioid?
They got goddamn rattlesnakes there.
Nope.
Timmy. Rattlesnakes.
Negative.
No, in Chillicothe, in Hocking Hills and around there, they got rattlesnakes.
Negative.
Oh. I thought you meant that they had snakes in the rehab center.
I swear to God, if I see a snake out at this cabin, you all will never see me again because I will be holed up in there. I will not go to my car.
Well, why the fuck do you go in the middle of God's country if you're afraid of snakes?
Because it's beautiful, and I'm on a screened-in porch, but I swear to God, if I see a snake, I can't even get to the car. It's just not going to happen. I'm just going to end up just being there forever. Somebody's going to have to come get my cold, dead corpse. Dateline will do a story. It'll be amazing.
I always figured you'd be on Dateline.
No,
Stephanie afraid of snakes?
Very few people like snakes.
There are a lot of people that like snakes that don't mind them, that understand them.
No. I used to have an employee who had like all kind of fucking snakes. And he would order their food. He had to get their food mailed to him. And he spent like a fortune on that shit.
I thought they had to eat live mice.
No, but I'll tell you what, you put that goddamn mouse in an Instapot.
Is it ready?
Just like 30 seconds. It's like a fresh mouse.
Sweet.
Snake, you have the happiest snakes in the world.
Well, I do not care about a snake's happiness.
So anyway, Evelyn told Le Souvenir, the school's yearbook, that her favorite movie was The Girl of the Golden West, a romantic comedy about an independent businesswoman who refuses to marry a persistent suitor, and it seems that her parents' marital problems turned Evelyn against the idea of marriage.
She should have stayed with that thought.
Well, her parents divorced in 1941, and Vincent was awarded custody of the minor children. Helen returned to California, and Evelyn rejoined her father in St. Louis, where she attended Normandy High School.
Go Badgers.
Goddamn, I wouldn't
want to
be there. You got to get past those German pill boxes and shit on your way to school.
Yeah, isn't it ironic that she's attending Normandy High School in 1941, the same year that the war broke out?
You'd think they'd make them change the name so the Germans wouldn't catch on. It's like, we knew what was going to happen. We're going to name it Normandy after this big success we're going to have next year.
Maybe they named it after the wine.
Yeah, never thought about that.
Because wine is important.
Timmy, what do you think about this? Because my techniques, some of them are very scientific.
No, they're not.
Because...
Okay. They're very subtle.
Fornication.
I understand.
Fornication forensics, Timmy.
Oh.
By the Colonel.
God.
Fornication
forensics. It's got a ring to it,
Brandy. By the Colonel. Because you know what we got in this country right now, Devil?
What?
We got a coital crisis. We got an opioid crisis and a coital crisis.
First of all.
People just aren't doing it right.
What do you want to name your book?
Fornication forensics.
What about forensic fornication?
Well, that would
that sounds better. It rolls off the tongue easier.
Well, that would kind of appeal to the true crime.
So it appeals to our readers or our listeners.
Yeah.
We will if dumbass writes a book.
I'm thinking about going more primal a little bit and just making love like a hawk.
Can you not call it that at all?
What's that?
Oh.
Making love like a hawk.
Oh! You know, if you did that in the middle of making love or whatever, that's a mood killer. I'm just putting that one out there. You cannot come back from that.
You
no,
can't come back
at
from
that time. Fornicating is over. Over.
You can't throw your arms up in there.
Now, but I tell you what, if you can make her do that,
that's
Colonel.
Well, because men don't care. You can make all kinds of noises, but I'm telling you right now,
But you can make her do that and then
flop her arms
around
like she's flying.
Fold her
shit.
Arms.
Ah, that's the whole point of the book, Timmy.
Yeah. I've done that. I've done that
before. Turn your bedroom into a pleasure palace, Timmy.
Jesus Christ.
I think that would. I think all of our listeners would be anxious to buy that book, Brandon.
You know what? Swoop. Here you go. Swooping and swooning, making love like a hawk. Ah!
Ugh. God.
Your thoughts on that, Brandy?
I don't know. They're.
You're speechless, much like
the
women who are.
I'm speechless because I'm trying to hold back the bile that's coming. But if we could not do that, that would be great. I would appreciate this book never seeing the light of day. Thank you very much.
Okay, I was just
consider that
I could go with something more.
Consider that my anniversary
something
present.
Something more casual, Timmy. Just dicking around with the colonel.
Jesus Christ.
Dicking around with the colonel, Brandon.
Yes, that's much more subtle.
Not as,
Subtlety is our middle name.
What? Because our tagline's going to be hashtag vibrators no more.
Hashtag,
stupid hashtag
vibrators no more.
We're going to put my book is going to put the whole vibrator business out of
I guarantee it's not.
Out of business.
Well, he may become a target for the vibrating community, Brandy, if he continues with this book. The whole vibrating
industry. I'm on their radar, Timmy. I'm on their radar right now.
Fall apart.
Oh, my God. Can we talk about Evelyn, please? She had another. She had another yearbook that came out.
Right.
What was it called?
Yeah. She went to St. Louis and she attended Normandy High, and then according to the saga, which
still
is
pretentious,
Normandy High, NHS, a yearbook, the saga.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it is kind of pretentious, isn't it? Like, you are assuming there's a saga.
Actually, high school is a saga. High school is a saga.
All right. According to the saga, which is the Normandy High School yearbook, Evelyn was certainly quiet at times, but she could hold an intelligent conversation about practically any subject.
That would suck if that's what people wrote about me. I mean, that would suck.
Yeah, they wouldn't write that about you.
Well, I mean, like, she's kind, she's thoughtful, she's quiet and smart.
Yeah.
What the hell?
Kind and thoughtful, not two words that jump into my head when we're describing you, devil.
Yeah. Well, you know, if they're talking about how quiet you are and how smart you are, they're basically saying you don't have
Yeah, pretty
any
much,
boobs.
Yeah.
Isn't that where you get?
That's where
that you take away
from
that?
Well, I mean, seriously, you know,
she got great personality.
She's got a great personality. Yeah.
Yeah.
She's jackass backwards, but she's got a great personality.
Well, I'm sure that the Le Souvenir was a lot kinder.
Because anytime describing a woman with really nice boobs, that's the first thing you say about her. She might have split the goddamn atom in a basement. But the first thing you say is, oh, she got nice boobs.
Mm-hmm.
You
got to
lead
with that, Brandy.
Nice boobs, very smart. Mm-hmm. Nice boobs, not very smart. Whatever. I mean, nice boobs... Quiet keeps to herself.
I don't think the saga is going to be able to print that. But anywho, can we talk about? Yeah,
go throughout ahead. High school. Yeah, throughout high school, Evelyn refused boys' advances, Brandy, and had no desire to go steady. No desire. Whatsoever to go steady. She even turned down Tommy Higgins, the star quarterback of the Normandy High School football team and the most popular boy in school.
Wait a minute, wasn't Tommy Higgins like
Kerry
White's date to the prom?
Yeah, he was. Does it say
maybe it's the same dude. It was what was that? William Catt, right?
Yeah.
Right. Does it say William anything Catt. In the saga about her playing on the girls' softball team?
Saga. First of all, they didn't have.
Colonel, can you sing a little bit of the Greatest American Hero theme?
I don't know that one. I never watched it because I was in a battle with them because everybody knows I'm the Greatest American Hero. I refuse to watch it.
No, they didn't have girls softball back then, Charles.
Oh, okay.
No, they didn't have lesbians back then, Colonel.
They didn't.
This came around with the invention of softball.
Mm-hmm.
1993. After she graduated, Abby, as she was known to her family, Abby, she joined a women's army corps, Colonel.
Let me check one more box.
Your thoughts on that,
Timmy? Turned down the star football player, joined the women's army corps. I don't see a pattern.
Yep, quiet, mm-hmm. and smart.
She's going to need my book, Going Solo with the Colonel.
Fucking idiots.
Oh, my God. You think she had potential as a softball player?
You know
girl?
She was a line drive hitter, too.
Oh, my God.
After she graduated, yeah, she joined the Women's Army Corps. As she was known by her family. Yeah, she joined the WAC. She's part of that Cheap Trick song.
Yep.
Remember Surrender?
Can you sing a little bit of that for us, Colonel?
That
is all right. They just seem a little weird. Surrender, surrender, but don't give yourself away. Hey, hey.
What do you think about that, Brandy?
Can we not? Please. Please, I don't ask much from you people.
So she joined the WAC, and she, get this, Colonel, she became an office machine.
She's probably a spy.
That means a typist to me.
She was a spy. I think she was a spy.
Mm-hmm. You think so?
That's what I'm going with.
She spent the war at Jefferson's Barracks near St. Louis. Apparently, military service didn't agree with her. It was reported that she, after her service, she burned her uniform, Brandy. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, it does.
Seems unpatriotic to me.
She wants to burn it, burn it.
What kind of commie is this woman? She's got a commie lesbian on our hands, Timmy.
Can we have some, show some respect for the dead? Jesus Christ.
Well, she didn't show no respect for her uniform, caught it on fire, turned down the star football team, joined the WAC.
And at a time when this nation was at war, Brandy. So what I'm hearing, Colonel, is Brandy is proving of her treasonous behavior.
Brandy Young-un.
What?
Okay, Comrade Brandy.
Comrade.
Yeah, I'm gonna have Putin out to the cabin.
That's
all I'm saying.
Right. He'll ride out
on a bear.
Bare chested.
He can ride out on a bear.
Bare chested stallion.
On a bear. In late 1944, she moved in with her brother and sister-in-law in Baldwin, Long Island, and took a job as a bookkeeper with an engraving company in Lower Manhattan, Brandy.
I don't have
any thoughts on that.
Good for her.
Yeah, okay. During a New Year's Eve party in 1945, where she was celebrating the New Year, she was also celebrating her discharge
from
the Army, I think.
She was celebrating her discharge.
That sentence could have gone a thousand different ways, and you chose to type it that way.
Well, I don't have... I didn't say her vaginal discharge. I said her discharge.
And for a mere $14.99.
Good for her celebrating that.
You could open the floodgates.
Good for her.
Now, while she was celebrating 1945 and her discharge.
Was it a burning discharge? Did she have a burning discharge?
Celebrate a burning discharge.
How do you actually
celebrate a burning discharge?
Really?
Jesus Christ. A burning discharge, you stay home, lay low for a little bit until that shit goes away.
All right.
Jesus.
All right. At this party, she met another Baldwin resident by the name of Barry Rhodes. He was an ex-Army navigator who was studying engineering under the GI Bill at Lafayette College, Brandy, in Easton, Pennsylvania.
I have none.
Thoughts on that?
He showed up that first day and said, Lafayette, I am here.
Maybe he was celebrating her discharge, too. You don't know that.
That's back, be celebrating.
You don't know that at all.
They had that wool underwear, too, Timmy. They didn't have the. She had the wool underwear.
So it's probably just sweat.
Oh, that was gross. Mm. She had to go there.
Sweat?
Ooh, that was disgusting, devil, yeah. Yeah, be a lady.
Be a lady. Comrade.
Yeah.
For Barry, it was love at first sight, Brandy. He told his sister that he knew the moment he met Evelyn, she was the one he wanted to marry. And now, although Evelyn, I mean, he's a nice guy. He was a veteran. He's going to college to become an engineer. What's wrong with Barry?
Nothing's wrong with Barry.
Just because he doesn't have a vagina doesn't mean he's a bad person.
What are you yammering about?
Yeah.
Well. You seem to hate men for some reason.
Ever since I am surrounded by PI.
Unless she needs a good grade.
No, look. I am surrounded by PI.
Then she's on.
Just about 18 hours of every fucking day. So, you know, I don't hate men.
For Barry. It was love at first sight, as I mentioned before. It still was.
Just 30 seconds ago.
But Evelyn did not. Evelyn, what was her name? Abby. Abby did not share Barry's desire to get married. She was attracted to him, and she enjoyed his company.
Well,
but she didn't want to get married, Brandy.
Let me check my box here, Timmy.
Well, she don't want to get married to Barry. She don't want to marry an engineer. She didn't want to marry a veteran.
She didn't want to marry anyone. It wasn't Barry she didn't want to marry. She didn't want to marry anybody.
Oh, well, I'm sure she would have married someone come along
yeah,
with a
she'd have been throwing that ring.
Stop it.
She'd put a ring on that one.
Stop it.
Put a ring on it. They dated, her and Barry. Probably took get the free meals. Became engaged.
It's the only reason to date.
They became engaged and planned to marry in June of 1947, Brandy. So she committed to Barry. The wedding would take place at Barry's brother's home in Troy, New York. I don't know Barry's brother's name, but that's...
Perry.
Perry is his name.
Of course.
Perry and Barry. But things were most...
Perfect.
I didn't name them. That their parents did. But things were not entirely as they seemed, Brandy. Evelyn had inherited her mother's depression. I'm not sure.
You can, yes. It's definitely
hereditary.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, it's not like
she
put it in the will.
She didn't put it in the
will.
Well, you don't know.
If she did, that would be pretty fucked up.
That's the thing that nobody ever wants. That's the thing you leave for your least favorite child.
Right.
That's about the only... That's the only thing my
there
daddy
were many,
left me. That my name. That's the only thing I got from him.
Despite her,
what do you think about this, Devil?
Depression.
Devil.
There were
what?
Many
horizontal heaven kernel style.
No.
That's a little hate wordy.
A little wordy. You think? Okay, let's scratch that.
I hate
one
it.
Scratch that one off. Horizontal heaven.
Nope.
Nailing. it's not just for carpenters.
Hate it.
Okay.
That one. I like that one. There were many sleepless nights for Evelyn. There were weeks at a time when she couldn't barely drag herself
been
to
there.
Work. Yeah, I know the feeling there.
Yeah.
I'm kind of there right now. In the there summer of 1946, Perry's brother,
got married.
Evelyn
was a bridesmaid.
He got married, and Evelyn was the bridesmaid. After the wedding, she tore off her dress and said, "I never want to see this dress again."
Bridesmaids' dresses are hideous.
Well, that seems like a little bit
anti-marriage.
A little bit telling, Colonel.
Hmm.
Anti-marriage. Mm-hmm. Pro.
Do you want me to read now so that you can stop reading?
Whack. A whack. All right. She don't like veterans.
God.
I don't know what she has against veterans, Brandy. Continue, Brandy. Please continue with this.
As her own wedding day approached, Evelyn became more despondent. Her family and friends thought it was merely a case of pre-wedding jitters, but it was much more. On March 2nd, 1947, Evelyn was rushed to the hospital when she became agitated and telling her sister that she was not worthy of Barry. She started...
Quit
celebrating it. She started shaking, curled up in the corner of her apartment, and rocked back and forth. Sounds like there's more than depression happening. The doctor who treated Evelyn marked it up to situational stress and prescribed a sedative which seemed to help her remain calm. Her erratic behavior continued, however. 2 weeks later, Evelyn started crying and walked out of her own wedding shower. Yeah, I wish I could have. Again, family and friends chalked it up to cold feet. Really? These people are fucking ignorant.
Okay, speaking of cold feet.
No, we're not.
What do you think
about
this one, Devil? 20 toes, and a scream. Dornick Colonel style.
I don't know what that means. No.
Your thoughts on
20 toes?
Brandy.
You got two people?
No.
10 toes apiece?
I don't like it.
See, when you're doing it, your toes are all crunched up together. Right? 20 toes and a scream. Come on.
It's not.
Well, it's
kind of
catchy, Brandy.
On April 30th, 1947, Evelyn visited Barry in Easton, New York, presumably to celebrate his 24th birthday. She often voiced fears of not being a good wife, Barry told reporters, but when I kissed her goodbye, she was as happy and as normal as any girl about to be married.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, to get 30, to get 20, 20, 20, to get 20, 20, to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Well, that's a bit much. The next day, Evelyn boarded the train back to New York at 7 a.m. on May 1st, 1947. She arrived at Penn Station around 9 in the morning and went across the street to the Governor Clinton Hotel, where she wrote a suicide note on their stationery. Shortly before 10:30 a.m., 23-year-old Evelyn McHale bought a ticket to the 86th-floor observation deck of the Empire State Building. 10 minutes later, Patrolman John Morrissey, who was directing traffic below, noticed a white scarf floating down from the upper floors of the building and then heard a crash. Evelyn had stepped out onto the edge, jumped, cleared the setbacks, and landed on the roof of a United Nations limousine parked on 34th Street, some 200 feet west of Fifth Avenue. After Evelyn...
That's just
what?
Goddamn rude.
That's a hell of...
You got to take out somebody's limousine while you kill yourself?
You know what, though? That's a hell of a jump, though. She was committed. That's a hell of a jump if she cleared all of the... all the setbacks. After Evelyn jumped and landed on the roof of the Cadillac, crowds began to assemble around the scene. As the Brooklyn Daily Eagle reported, afternoon shoppers on Fifth Avenue were horrified. But I'm betting it didn't stop them too long from shopping.
No, not if there was a Black Friday. If it was on Black Friday, it would have.
Well, it wasn't. This was like in May, but...
Oh, okay.
But we're also in New York, so I'm sure they just stepped around it and moved on. It was then that Robert Wiles rushed across the street to take his famous photo. Wiles, a sometimes cabbie and photography student, saw the commotion and rushed across the street where, standing on the sidewalk only a few feet from the car, he took his iconic photo of Evelyn just 4 minutes after her death. Still clutching her pearl necklace with her gloved hand, Evelyn looked disarmingly placid and composed, as if she were simply asleep. Around her, however, the broken glass and crumpled sheet metal of a car roof shows how brutally destructive her 1,040-foot jump was. Wiles, perhaps inadvertently, managed to capture in a single photograph both grace and beauty, as well as horror and death. The image remains as haunting and affecting as it did some 70 years ago. The photo... Yes.
And you guys seen this photo, right? We'll post it on the History Dweeb page. Yeah.
The photo looks like she's sleeping, lying cradled in the mess of crumpled steel. Her feet are crossed at the ankles. Her left hand rests on her chest, clutching her pearl necklace. Since being taken on May 1st, 1947, the photo has become infamous, with Time magazine calling it the most beautiful suicide. Wiles' photo was first published as Picture of the Week in the May 12, 1947 issue of Life magazine. It was reprinted in a number of photography annuals and the Best of Life anthologies, and eventually transcended reportage to become a pop culture icon. Evelyn's photo was the inspiration for everything from Andy Warhol's silk screens to fashion layouts to album covers to Taylor Swift videos. Really? Although in the photo Evelyn appears beautiful and at peace and with no signs of trauma, when the paramedics went to move her, it was a different story. According to reports, she essentially fell apart when they moved her body. Her insides were basically liquefied. Later, Detective Frank Murray found her tan, or maybe gray, reports differ. I could see how this is a clutch part to the story. Cloth coat neatly folded over the observation deck wall. A brown makeup kit filled with family pictures, and a black pocketbook with her suicide note, which read, "I don't want anyone in or out of my family to see any part of me. Could you destroy my body by cremation? I beg of you and my family, don't have any service for or remembrance for me. My fiancé asked me to marry him in June. I don't think I would make a good wife for anybody. He's much better off without me. Tell my father I have too many of my mother's tendencies." Evelyn's body was identified by her sister, Helen Brenner, and according to her wishes, she was cremated. Her fiancé, Barry, became an engineer and eventually moved south. He died in Melbourne, Florida on October 9, 2007, at the age of 86. He never married. The photographer, Robert Wiles, hit the jackpot with his iconic photo, but it did not lead to a successful career in photography. In fact, Robert Wiles never published another photograph. He gave up photography in the early 1950s, and he would go on to manage a textile company and die in 1983. Although it was Evelyn's final wish that her body not be seen by anyone, especially her family, her photo has become an icon and has remained so for the past 80 years. After 9/11, when the Empire State Building once again bore the burden of being the tallest skyscraper in New York, and again a jumping off point for would-be suicide victims. Since the Empire State Building was constructed in 1931, some 36 people have jumped from the building, including 17 from the 86th floor observation deck. Charles, could you please bring podcast home?
You're not giving me two pages, are you?
I can read the next page as well, and you can read the short page.
That would be kind, because I was getting some text here with my attorney, and he...
Now, for fuck's sake, can you participate?
Well,
okay.
He just came up with one of 101 ways to bury the weasel.
Oh God.
What do you think about that, Timmy?
That's good, Brandy.
That's catchy.
What about bone storming, Devil?
No. No, I veto all of
bone
these.
Bone storming.
No. All right.
Buttering the biscuit with the kernel?
No. No. Evelyn.
Okay.
Evelyn was the 12th suicide from the building and the 6th to clear all of the setbacks. One person actually survived the jump. In 1970.
Damn.
I know, right?
Superman?
I wonder if she brushed herself off.
Was it Wait a minute. Was it Molly Brown?
Hopefully no one would know.
She's unsinkable.
Yeah.
Let's see. She's badass. I bet nobody messed with her after that either.
She kind of limped or something away. And
oh, yeah.
You know, I like when you fall down. Or
hope no one saw you.
And you kind of look around. Hope no one sees you. Yeah.
In 1979, a depressed woman named Elvita Adams jumped from the 86th floor to end her life. Yet, the wind gusts can be quite powerful that high up, and unfortunately for her, one powerful gust actually blew her back into the building one floor below, breaking her hip. She was apprehended. Why is that unfortunately for her? That seems like a fortunate thing.
No, because you know what? The one sure way. It's
got
like,
a broken hip now.
You know, there's a lot of ways to end yourself. But pretty much the one way you can count on is jumping off a tall building. But when life is going to fuck you over and blow you back in, you just and break your hip.
And break your hip.
You know it's just not your day.
Oh, my God.
Don't stop and buy a lottery ticket on the way back to the hospital.
I love the next sentence.
Oh, I will.
Read the next sentence.
But there was a guy that, jumped. It was only like a 3-story building, and he jumped off of it, and he didn't kill himself the first time, so he went back up to the top of this building and
See,
jumped again.
Admire his persistence.
He never did, neither time killed him. I mean, it's a 3-story building, I get it, but Jesus Christ, man. All right, so.
Well, if you jump off 3 times, it's like a 9-foot building.
She broke her hip, and she was apprehended before she could try again. Did they throw her down and cuff her?
So broken hip didn't stop her, apparently.
Right. She wasn't going. Whatever.
Okay. Who's the one who tried to jump off the building here? Oh, it's that lady laying over in the grass.
Grab her, but don't touch
her
hip.
Cuffed her, tased her. She's getting out of hand.
What? Walk this way,
probably
man.
Taser.
Right. All right. So in response to the persistent suicide attempts, a 10-foot wire mesh fence was installed and guards were trained to spot potential jumpers. So they put up chicken wire and had these guards trained to spot the people that were climbing up onto the railing.
Someone they're paying minimum wage.
They're climbing on the railing. They might go.
Yeah, spot jumpers.
Look suspicious when they're caught in the chicken wire.
Right.
Tackle her.
Right.
That lady in a broken hip.
After the barrier was installed, people just jumped from other parts of the building, usually from the office windows.
Yeah.
If you see a lady in a broken hip, just tackle her. Don't ask any questions.
She's one-legged and dangerous.
Jesus. The barrier has not always worked, however.
Think about what she's thinking laying on a motherfucker.
Son of a bitch.
Now she's wishing she didn't rack up all that credit card debt month before.
Yeah, now she's going to have a huge hospital bill.
Yeah, she's going to have to pay her Citibank card.
Yeah, but look at the good
she
side.
Does.
She gets the Percocets now.
She does.
All right, so the barrier has not always worked.
They probably sent her to pain management.
On March 30th, what the fuck? Oh, you know they gave her opium. No,
physical therapy.
They gave her opium. You know they did. Stop it.
No, they probably didn't because they
really?
Probably
because
afraid
that's
that
what
she'd
they worried
overdose.
About in 19 whatever so the hell 79. No.
Well, so give her opium and she's state
wait a minute. But if you give her a bunch of opium, then she's chill.
Yeah.
Then you're not climbing anywhere to jump off anything.
Well, she ain't climbing anywhere for a long time.
Well, anyway, okay. So I assume that this is on March 30th, 2010. There's a bit of a typo there. I'm going to assume that's what that is.
Yeah, probably.
Shocked tourist watched in horror as a student from one of America's top Ivy League universities jumped to his death from the 86th floor observation deck of the Empire State Building. Yale University junior Cameron DeBoggy?
DeHogby?
21. Oh, here we go. Got a running start and scrambled over a 10-foot-high spiked fence before leaping off the ledge. He left us...
That's good. What is that, parkour, Timmy? Parkour? That was the first parkour guy?
Well, if you land on the spike fence, I guess it wouldn't matter.
He left a suicide note in his dorm room in New Haven, Connecticut. He apologized for turning to suicide and wrote he planned to jump from either George Washington Bridge or the Empire State Building. There were seven people on the building's observation deck. Yeah, obviously one of those highly trained guards was chilling right there. When he climbed the safety barrier, one person tried to talk him down, but DeBoggy, whatever, wouldn't listen. I misspoke there for real. Fortunately, he did not hit anyone when he landed. He jumped at the height of rush hour in downtown Manhattan in the pouring rain. According to one witness, he came down.
I mean, if you saw that, just think how the people he had to deal with it, you know, what they had to deal with.
Well, I bet it was just, that had to be horrible.
You pretty much sound like wet cement when you hit.
Do you? Have you heard a lot of those?
Yeah, I have.
Of course you have.
I watch a lot of YouTube.
Did you get a tattoo
this? What do you think about this, Timmy? Tunnel patrolling with the Colonel.
I like it.
I don't.
I like it. You like it, Brandy?
Let's see. According to one witness, he came down right in front of the Bank of America. Boom. It was an explosion. No one else was injured. But unlike Evelyn's fall, Cameron's landing was anything but peaceful. In fact, it was pretty horrific. His body was shattered and blood splatter covered the sidewalks and passersby. Cameron's body parts were scattered on the sidewalk.
Ugh.
One man ran over and covered the body the best he could with his jacket and umbrella. God bless that man. The motive for the suicide of the East Asian Studies major wasn't clear, but he became the 34th and most recent person to jump off the Empire State Building. In addition to...
It was probably because he took out a student loan to attend an Ivory school. Did he attend? Harvard or someplace? Princeton, and majored in Eastern Asian Studies. Right. That's probably why he felt
and
the
it was
outcome.
Yale. Future he was going bleak to Yale, so there you go.
Oh yeah, okay.
Would
so
it
an
have
Ivy
been
League
less
school.
Horrific
okay.
if he was at a public college or a community college?
No.
Well, he would not
he
have.
He would not.
Yeah, so he probably wouldn't have
loan debt, obviously.
In addition,
I'm thinking about going classy, Timmy. I'm thinking.
Okay.
The Colonel's Guide to Sexual Congress.
Let that marinate a minute, Brandy. Say that again, Colonel, very slow.
The Colonel's Guide to Sexual Congress.
Your thoughts on that?
Any book title with Congress in it, I'm not reading. So, or that says Colonel. Not reading. Or the word making love.
Well, she's got a point, Colonel. It might be over the head of some of our listeners.
Whatever.
You got to remember, you got to talk down to people, Colonel.
Right. I'm on a different level when it comes to
sexual
Congress. I got to dumb it down.
You're both fucking jackasses.
Exactly.
Okay, so hey. So the Empire State Building's death toll also includes tragedies resulting from two shootings as well as a plane crash. On February 23, 1997, Ali Hassan Abu Kamal, a 69-year-old Palestinian teacher, opened fire on the observation deck, killing one man and injuring six others before shooting himself in the head. A second shooting took place on August 24, 2012, when Jeffrey Johnson, a clothing designer who had been laid off, shot and killed a former co-worker outside of the building. Charles, do you want to read this last page, or do you want me to do that too?
You're doing a wonderful job. What do you think about...
Oh, good.
The Colonel's Guide Through the Chamber of Secrets.
J.K. Rowling might not like that very much.
Chamber of Secrets, Brandy.
Yeah, she's...
You could get sued.
But she's not one to sue, so...
She is one to have you killed, actually, so... There is that.
That's true. I mean, my editor's throwing me gross stuff, like putting email in the spam folder.
Good Lord.
I mean, that's...
So, can we... the gunman, who was hiding behind a van, emerged onto 33rd Street, first shooting his target from afar. After his victim fell to the ground, Johnson approached the body and fired several more rounds while standing over him. Johnson was later shot...
Did he know this person?
Evidently, yes. That was his target. He knew him. He was a coworker.
Oh.
Please pay attention. Johnson...
Well, I mean...
Can you imagine anyone wanting to harm a coworker,
Brandy? I cannot imagine. Johnson...
Well, see, in these kind of things, you don't really know if the person had it coming.
He could have microwaved fish in the office.
They were a coworker. Right. Burn popcorn.
Well, this happened outside of the Empire State Building, so I don't know what that has to do.
You wrote
with
it,
Empire State.
So
because they burned a bunch of popcorn in the microwave,
nope,
and then just
they microwaved fish.
Moved on. Oh, those sons of bitches!
I used to have a coworker who always forgot to remove the plastic.
How do you always forget that? That's like the one thing you have to do.
He did it like four times, and then like the fire department would come like it would come like three times of the four times he did it. Finally, he just stopped buying popcorn.
What the hell, dude?
It was
what
it,
the
he,
hell?
He did it.
Was it Ed?
No, I don't know.
No, Ed's too smart for that.
No.
All right. So let's see. He was later shot down. Johnson was later shot down by police officers stationed in front of the Empire State Building's Fifth Avenue entrance.
Yeah, they're probably looking for that.
She was probably one of the ones that took him down. The officers fired a total of 16 rounds, killing Jesus Christ, they shoot like stormtroopers, killing Johnson and injuring nine bystanders. They're like fucking stormtroopers.
Well, I mean, you know, you take your chances. You walk by the Empire State Building, you're either going to get shot or some old lady's going to fall on your head.
Miraculously suffered life-threatening wounds. On July 28th, 1945, Lieutenant Colonel William Smith crashed a U.S. Army B-25 bomber into the north side of the Empire State Building's 79th floor.
Now, that'd be my luck. That's when I'd be visiting
the city. The city was cloaked in a
B-25 bomber crash into the...
The city was cloaked in a dense fog on the morning of the crash. Maybe he shouldn't have been flying, just putting that out there. And the lieutenant colonel, who was on his way to Newark to pick up his commanding officer, he screwed the pooch on this one, somehow ended up over LaGuardia asking for a weather report. Little late. When you're...
I don't know why he's... flying a bomber. Couldn't he just get a car service or something?
I feel like when you're up in the air, it's a little late to be asking for the weather report. Although he was encouraged. Yeah. Hello.
I can't see anything.
He was encouraged to... Okay. Although he was encouraged to land, Smith still requested military permission to continue to Newark. The last transmission from the LaGuardia Tower to the plane was a foreboding warning. From where I'm sitting, I can't see the top of the Empire State Building. And neither could he. In attempts to regain visibility, Smith lowered the bomber only to find himself amid the towering skyscrapers of Midtown Manhattan. Initially,
that's his fault. When that happens.
Initially, he was headed straight for the New York Central Building, but was able to shift west, avoiding contact. He continued to swerve around. Jesus Christ. This guy's playing fucking Frogger.
It's like a video game or something.
He continued to swerve around several other buildings until his luck ran out. He found himself headed straight for the Empire State Building. The pilot tried to climb and twist away, but it was too late.
Yeah.
Upon the impact, the bomber made a hole in the building measuring 18 feet high and 20 feet wide. And the plane's high-octane fuel exploded, shooting flames throughout the building that reached down to the 75th floor. 13 people died. Despite all of these horrific events, most of the 4 million who yearly rise to the top of the Empire State Building come down safely. That was a horrible ending to a horrible story. And just for a second, can we calm down for just a second?
Yeah.
I want to put something out here.
Okay.
Disclaimer.
Okay.
Everybody on our page has issues that we're dealing with. And on the page, we all kind of lean on each other and we help each other out and we are there for each other. So I would encourage anybody that if you are having issues, if you're having any kind of suicidal thoughts or anything like that, reach out to somebody on the page or call the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 1-800-273-8255. And despite these two dipshits that I do a podcast with who clearly have no empathy whatsoever, if you reach out to somebody, if you reach out on the page, somebody is always on. Somebody will always respond to you. Always. That's the great thing about our group.
That's an important message because it is. And the main thing that the Colonel and I'm concerned about is we don't want to be walking down the street
exactly.
And when you fuckers land on us.
I can see how that would be a concern for you since you never leave your apartment.
Yeah. Could you just...
I know, to Wendy's.
I got sometimes. Don't fall on me. Isn't that what that snake says? Don't fall on me.
Don't land on me or some shit.
I don't even know what you're yammering about.
Yeah. That was
so Charles.
Don't fall on me.
Charles.
Yes.
What do you think
about
this?
We would like to think.
I'm really trying not to.
Colonel Bang Bang.
Nope.
Play on the
I got it.
Movie.
I hate every
Colonel Bang Bang.
I hate all of those words.
Okay, fine.
We would like to thank all the wonderful folks who support us on Patreon. If you would like to support us on Patreon and continue to receive this outstanding quality of podcast, please go to patreon.com / historydweebs. Where you can give a little, you can give a lot, or we would like to thank all of the wonderful listeners and Colonel.
We have
to do that right now.
He's got one job.
And Cheryl and the Dweeb, Nick Johnson, of course, Timothy Sloan, Mary Sheldon, Gina Green, Whitney James, Jay Cleveland Payne, Nina Gerard, Carl Asplund, Susan Van Hook, Paula Kimes. Jim Seabright, Andrew Scammell, Tommy Lane, Jason Dykes, Terry Stratford, Brandy McBride, Jennifer Sabota, Maggie Glover, Gracie's mom, Erica Kenny, Hiro, The Comeback Podcast, LK Bar Anut, Reen, Marissa Albanese, Phyllis Munson, the beautiful Jennifer Riker Smith down there in Austin, and the exceptionally handsome Stephen Potts, Anna Garrett, Ben Dobrovich, Ursula, also known as La Nick, and of course, who we just mentioned, Clark and Diane Trowbridge, Beth Ann Waller, Michelle Johns, Margaret McDonald, Aaron Turner, Jess, the lovely English Leanne Flanagan, Julia Rodriguez, Leanne, woman of mystery, and one of these days, Timmy, I'm going to figure out what exactly she does, Timmy. Mike.
She is a...
She's a spy.
I can't tell you. But
she, you know what? She's going to be a dweeb con, Timmy.
It's
and
very
I'm
going to
get her liquored up, and I'm going to get it out
of
her.
She will be a dweeb con in 1 month, and we hope everyone else comes as well. Clark and Diane will be there, of course. Nick and Nick Starr is going to be there, and Molly, Shauna, and it's going
to
be there. So it's going
to
be
a lot of people.
Coming to
pay of course
homage to me, Brandon.
Mike Sadler, Jamie Dent, Tyrone, Marsha Boris, Stacy Alsop, Jody and Sean Wells, Amber Anderson, of course our friends over at They Walk Among Us, Lorna Violet, Michael Deo, Kelly Charette, Karen Widener,
Callie Jones, Laura Meredith.
Nina is going to be at DweebCon.
Yes.
Nina Instead. She is going to help us with the live show. So that should be fun. And Karen Michelle is going to be there. And you and her, you guys are going to do a live spy stories.
Yes. You get, look at all what. That's look exciting. Basically, it's better than Bob Barker could give you if you won one of the game show things. You get a trip to Queens.
Brandy, you can get back-to-back colonels.
Oh,
you
well.
Can get double the
back-to-back
colonel,
shows with the colonel.
Brandy. I will have to make sure that I'm not there for half of it.
We may be needing you. We may need to hand out those that number for the suicide prevention.
We're at a one-story thing, so if you jump off, you're just going to break your wrist.
That's true.
Sarah Bloom, Amber Krupp,
very small building.
Laura O'Reilly, Christine Bourgeois, Kelly, Kimberly Cameron, Elise Edrichin, History Goes Bump, Amber Trevino, Annette Petre, Elise, Lahara Lopez, Alicia and Chip Mincy, Marquia Smith, Jeff and Don Chestnut, Timmy, Andrew Happ.
I wish they were coming.
Wonderful people.
They're not. I don't think they can make it this year. But
Karen Barnes.
Yeah, they are.
Rachel Flynn, Shirley Strapp, Todd Long, Melissa Montoya, Maja, Karen Michelle, Carol Elise, Kristen Malachinsky, Adam McWaters, Paula Kimes, The Vanish Podcast, Canadian True Crime. They're very polite, Christy Lee.
Ooh,
they're very
Christy
polite
Lee.
Up there. Charlie, of course.
She's wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
Charlie Worrell
mm-hmm.
and
Christy Lee.
Christy is. And so, but so is Charlie, too.
Charlie's wonderful, yes.
Her show,
Charlie
Crime
is
Lines,
well.
That's a really good one.
Yes.
Angela Santos, mm-hmm. Lydia Fisher, Kimberly Stroop, Nicole Adams, Ron Monastero, Tracy Smith, Bridget Bernard, Stacy, Cheryl Weldon, Veronica Moreno, Chris Lane, Alexandra, Elaine Baker, Vivian Baca, Shireen Nera, Amanda Lupa, Shannon Arnold, Kimberly Smith, Robin Sherrard, Ruth Whitfield, Cassie Kitchens, Natasha Burgess, Julia Bentley, Patty Schmidt, of course, the wonderful, wonderful, and really she raises the class level of the Patreon donors up quite a bit just being on it. Lady Beverly, Timmy. Lady Beverly.
She does.
Yes, and then we've got, of course, Rudy, the world's most dangerous canine, and his sidekick, Bo, Timmy.
Is Bo actually contributing?
Well,
is he a Patreon supporter? Because I don't remember seeing
any. He gives
any,
money to Rudy.
Donations coming
Rudy
from Bo.
Rudy gives him
Rudy's
money.
The one with the credit card.
Yeah. Yeah, Bo's too young to have a credit card.
Oh, I see.
Damn.
He's just
Jesus,
a little
damn.
Guy, Timmy. He can't have a. Jesus, don't you know anything about dog finance? And then the woman, hopefully the body count racked up high enough for you here.
It didn't.
The woman we did a potty cat.
It did at the end. And she always gets a chuckle out of a
she loves
hip,
a good
so.
Broken
That's
hip.
Because you try and break her hip constantly.
Yeah. The wonderful Dottie Scott.
Huh. Yes. And I want to give a shout out to Maria. She's a new member on our page. She is from... I believe
yes.
Norway,
yes, yes.
where Knut is
Yay.
From.
Yes.
Yes. So thank you for joining us and welcome. All right. We'll do it for this show. We'll see you again next time on
Bye-bye.
History Dweebs. Bye, everyone.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.